Aren't you glad to be in God's house today? What a delight. It is well with my soul. What a joy to know that's true and to be belong to Him and know that when time comes, we're going to be with Him. I like that when the trumpets sound and He just says, man, what a wonderful day that's going to be. But it's a joy between now and then, right? We enjoy life before that day comes. I still remember a message a long, long time ago. One of the pastors preached. He called all this in heaven too. And he talked about all the blessings now and what's coming. So, I want to continue our study in Ephesians chapter 5 today. I'm going to read several verses, but I'm going to focus on one in particular. And ask the Lord to speak to us, because I believe God has things He wants to say to us. Do you? Do you think God's going to talk to us today? I have to believe that He does, and He already has through the singing, the music, and the things that have happened. In Ephesians 5, I want to start with verse 18 again and read down through verse 21. He's been talking about how we ought to live as a Christian, being careful how we walk and all the relationships we have with Christ. And then he says in verse 18, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." That's what we've been doing, right? So let's think about that concept in this verse. First of all, if you've got your notes out, which I hope you do, out of your bulletin, I want to begin with, be subject to Christ as He was to His Father. Be subject to Christ as He was to His Father. Everything Jesus teaches us, Jesus did. When you think about it, all the things that He practiced and He tells us to do, He did Himself. So when the Scripture talks about being subject to one another, Jesus was that to the Father. Now, I recognize being subject to God is different than working with people, but although it's under the authority of Christ that we do this, be subject to Christ as He was to His Father. The first scripture in your outline says, "I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming and has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me." Jesus, in talking, said that He only did what the Father said. He knew the time was coming for Him to leave this world, to go to the cross, and be crucified for our sins, and be raised again. But notice what Jesus said. How much of what the Father said did He do? How did He do it? He said, "I do exactly what the Father commanded me to do." So when Jesus was here on earth in His earthly body during that time, and I suppose all the time, He said, "I can only do what the Father tells me to do." In John 15, He describes that a lot more, and I didn't go into that. But Jesus was subject to the Father. And I'm grateful that He was willing to do everything the Father wanted Him to do. Aren't you glad He did those things that the Father sent Him to do? In fact, He said in one scripture, "I have completed," and I think in John 17, that He's finished everything the Father gave Him to do. So Jesus was subject to the Father. Now, if we are to fulfill this teaching in this particular verse, it starts by our subjection of ourselves to Jesus too. So I've listed Romans 12:1 on your notes that some of you know by memory. "Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship." So He challenged us as believers to present our bodies, to surrender ourselves to Him as a what? Living sacrifice. Now, how can that be? Normally, when a sacrifice is offered, at least in the Old Testament, what happened to the sacrifice? It was crucified. So how do you be a living dead person? As you yield yourself to the Lordship of Christ, yes, you ask Him to help us die to self, and we're still alive, but we've yielded our lives to Him. We surrender to Him. And so when I submit to the Lordship of Christ, and I yield my life to Him, then I can fulfill what He wants me to do. I believe the Christian life is impossible if it's not a yielded life. Because Christ, what He's asked of us, is accomplished only by His power in us. The things of the Christian life are accomplished by the grace of God in us. And so I want to say to God today, I present myself as a living sacrifice. I've given up my ways, my plans, my goals, and everything for the Lordship of Christ, and I want to be pleasing to God. Holy and pleasing to God. As an act of worship. As an act of adoration. So in order to do what I believe the Scripture is talking about, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, I start by submitting to Christ, to His Lordship, to His direction. Now when I submit to His Lordship, and He says do something, if I'm submitted to His Lordship, what am I going to do? If I'm submitted to Him as my Lord, and He says this is what I want from you, then I'm going to do it. If I don't do it, am I submitted? No. I like to say I'm submitted, but the reality of whether I'm really yielded or subject to the Lord depends on what actions I take in response to what I know He wants me to do. Of course, the Bible is full of directions for that. So if I'm to be subject to one another in Christ, what I'm saying is I need to be subject to Christ as much as He was to His Father. That takes the grace of God. As a human being, I don't like to submit to anybody. Wasn't that true? Normally, human beings, we don't like to be under anybody. I keep thinking about, I guess I'm old, but anyway, a song that came out a long, long time ago, and it's the song said, I'm my own grandpa. Yeah, it is old. But the concept is, I'm not submitting to anybody. That's the attitude. But I need to learn to say, God, I will submit myself to You and to Your Lordship and trusting You to take over my life. So if I'm to carry out this Scripture that I'm talking about, it comes by asking God to fill me with His Spirit, help me to submit to Him as the Lord of my own life, so that whenever He gives me direction, I say, okay, Lord, let's do it. The good news is when He says that and we say, okay, He helps us do it. I'm grateful He doesn't leave it all on our own and say, you've got to do this all by your own skill. No. The second thing then, if I'm to fulfill this Scripture, I ask God to teach me humility. If I'm to fulfill being subject to one another, or some translation may use another word here, in the fear of Christ, I need God to teach me humility. For if I am to receive from other people what God wants me to receive from other people, other believers who are walking with Christ in particular, I need to ask God to teach me a spirit of humility. I find I don't go look for something unless I think I need it. So when I'm humble, I realize I need what God's provided for me and other believers. So let me think about this matter of humility. I'm asking God to teach me that. Because I don't learn it very well on my own. Let me read the first scripture passage. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And that passage goes on to talk about Him being crucified for us. Teach me humility. The first part of this passage says, I don't do things out of selfishness or conceit or pride, another word for that, but humility of mind regarding one another is more important than yourself. How easy is that? Most of us, if we're not careful, and again, only by God's grace, regard ourselves, I'm more important than anybody else. One of the reasons for us in marriage, if marriage is to work, I recognize my partner is more important than I am. I submit my needs to her needs or vice versa. One of the issues I think in marriage it doesn't work is because each of us says, I want my own thing, and I'm unwilling to seek the needs of the other, which is coming later in this same fifth chapter of Ephesians, but we'll get to that probably next week. But humility. He said, don't look out for your own personal interests only, but for the interests of others. But what's the basis for that attitude? This attitude, he said, is the same attitude that was in Christ, though he was God, set aside his Godhead, he still remained God, but he set aside his rights. I guess another way of saying that. And humbled himself. So if I'm to be a learner from other people, I'm to receive from others, as this talks about, being subject to one another, so I hear from one another, I ask God to help me regard the fact that other individuals have a lot to teach me and to help me. Particularly if they're Christians. I'll talk more about some aspects of this as I go. The next scripture passage also says the same similar thing. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another. Because God is what to the proud? Opposed. I mean, if I'm looking out just me, God is not happy with me? Well, if he's opposed to it, what? But what does it also say? He gives grace to the humble. Grace. He helps us do that. He enables us to do that. When I recognize what the value of other people, humble self, that he may exalt us at the proper time. Then he said, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And we've often thought about that, the value of that, casting our anxiety. But in this section of Scripture, what's he talking about? He's been saying, we clothe ourselves with humility toward one another. He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, on the basis of that humility, cast your anxiety on him. I think a part of what he's saying is, when I worry about yielding myself and being humble to other people and that bothers me, I need to give that to him. Cast that anxiety. Now, I know other anxieties apply here. But I think in this scripture, he's saying, when you worry about receiving other people, being subject to other people, and that's bugging you, you need to give it to Jesus. And he'll help you be able to yield and to be able to do what we need to do in there. So, because he cares for us. And everything he asks for us, he asks us, he'll help us do that. On the other side of your notes is another verse about humility. Now, these things, brethren, I figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. Well, who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? I think a part of humility is recognizing everything I've got, every skill that I know, every opportunity that I have, whatever I've learned that is good or value, I didn't get it. God gave it to me. Now, you say, well, I've studied and I learned. Yeah, but who'd you get the mind to learn with? Where'd you get the opportunity? It all came from God. And this scripture reminds us that whatever I have that I might brag about, whatever I might be big-headed about, I need to say, wait a minute. God gave it to me. It's for his glory. And I don't have any reason to brag or to boast against other people who don't have what I've got because God gave it to me in the first place. So this is, to me, this is a part of humility. I don't boast about what I have. I boast about the one who gave it to me. Paul talked about his boasting in Christ alone. And I recognize that. So if there is to be this spirit of subjecting to one another, working with one another, as he's talking about, it comes with a spirit of humility, and a part of the humility recognizes, I don't have anything. Whatever I've got, whatever skills I've got, whatever achievements have come, it's come by the grace of God, and I owe it all to him. And I don't have anything to brag about anyway, except who he is and what he's done. So what I'm suggesting is, if we're to fulfill this passage, this verse, I come with submitting to Christ. I come with a matter of humility, asking God to teach me that. Now, when I ask God to teach me humility, I need to be ready to be taught. What am I saying? If our God wants me to teach me humility, He may put me in some humbling situations where I have to yield or have to admit I'm not where I thought I was. Because how do you learn it? You don't get it just because you say I'm humble. You get it because God puts you in situations where you have to yield to another person or admit my need is greater than I thought, and I have to yield to Him in humility. Now, when I do that, will He lift me up? He will bless me when I come humbly before Him, because the Scripture talks about coming to the throne of grace with humility. So, if I'm to fulfill that, I need humility. The next area is, if I'm to submit to one another, be subject to one another, recognize the value of every Christian. Recognize the value of each Christian. See, if I'm to be subject to one another, we're talking about believers in particular, talking about being filled with the Spirit anyway, I need to recognize the value of all the other believers. The Scripture passage I listed on your notes says, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. What that means is I don't get to pick my fellow believers. If I read this passage, this 1 Corinthians 12 has a whole lot to say about the relationship. But that says God put them there. So, if God put them there, if God saved them, if Jesus Christ has become their Lord, and He put them in a relationship where I'm going to be connected to them, they are of value no matter whether I think they are or not. I need to be careful because sometimes I pick out people who I want to get received from and others that I don't think I want to listen to. Now, maybe you don't ever do that, but I think we all do it at times. See, if that person, if I understand what this is saying, that every child of God that He's brought together is walking in the Spirit, He buttons together in a church body. Every one of them are of value to the Lord God Himself, and I need to receive that and see that instead of criticize them or say, well, I don't want to hear from them because they don't think like I do, or they don't teach like I do, or they don't do the things I do. Maybe they're talking to me because sometimes I have trouble with that if I don't watch it. So if I'm to be subject to one another, I need to recognize, when I see you, you're of value. God valued you. God made you who you are. You're a person of great value to the Lord God who created you and gave you a place of service and made you a child of the King. And because you belong to Jesus, you are of value. So when I recognize that, of all the people, have you ever learned anything from somebody you didn't want to learn from? Yeah. One of the joys, sometimes I like to be around a new Christian. I like to hear sometimes a new believer pray. Because they haven't learned all the fancy stuff. They just pray. And it's fun to hear somebody that's new in the Lord just begin to talk to the Lord out of their own heart. They're not trying to impress anybody. You learn a lot from new believers. I can learn a lot from Christians who are not as old as I am in the Lord. So what I'm saying is, if I'm to be subject to other believers, I recognize that each one of you are valuable in the kingdom, and I start looking for that value in your life. I say, God, help me to recognize that. And therefore, when I recognize that, I can work with you, I can be subject to you, I can learn from you. That's what I'm suggesting. The next area is, be subject to fellow Christians out of reverence for Christ. Be subject to fellow Christians out of reverence for Christ. He said in the end of that passage, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. In the fear of Christ, or out of reverence for Christ, or honor for Christ, recognizing who He is. What am I suggesting? Because I belong to Jesus, And because that person belongs to Jesus, out of honor and reverence for the Lord Jesus who saved them, and the Lord Jesus who saved me, out of respect and honor for my Lord, I will do what He said. I will be subject to other people. I will receive what God's doing through them. Notice what it said in the Scripture. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to the... Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. Not just one, but everyone. Why? Because of Jesus. When I'm filled with the Spirit, I want to do what Jesus said. I want to honor Jesus. And so I'm going to fulfill this Scripture passage and this relationship to receiving from other people, other believers, because it honors the Lord Jesus Himself. Because I'm connected to Him in the fear of Christ. This translation uses fear. Some use reverence. Some use honor. What do we mean by the fear of Christ? You mean when you hear about Jesus, you can run out the back door? No. I guess for me, the fear of Christ is sort of what I used to have when I was a kid. I had a fear of my dad and mom. I didn't run from them, but I sure didn't want to displease them. I sure wanted to obey them. And if I did something that I thought they didn't like, I didn't want to find out about it. Because I knew that probably I was going to get it. And I deserved it, okay? Now, I grew up in a one-room country school to the eighth grade. But here's what my parents told me, my mom told me. If you get a spanking at school, you're getting one when you come home. That's not true today. Anyway, I won't go there. You know what I'm talking about. So what I'm saying is, I want to be subject in fear of Christ. I don't want to displease my Lord. I don't want to make Him unhappy. I don't want to ever do anything that brings heartache to my Lord Jesus. And so because of that, and so I'm subject to Him, I have a fear for Him, I have a reverence for Him, I have an honor for Him, that's what I'll do. I'm convinced that God uses the body. I like the description in Acts chapter 2 of the early believers. They just seem to be together. They just seem to learn and share in fellowship. So what I'm suggesting, God, help me do this. What I'm saying to you, to me and to you, it's not easy for me to learn to be subject to other people. Because sometimes I think I know what I'm talking about, and I know better than you do. Well, we all get there sometimes. About certain subjects, maybe, not about everything. Every once in a while, the Lord reminds you, you got a whole lot more to learn yet. You got a whole lot more to grow and to do yet. Because I've been a Christian a long time, and sometimes it's temptation. Well, you know, I'm pretty good. I've been saved for 60-some years. I'm okay. And the Lord reminds you, no, you got a lot more to go yet. You got this area you need to work on. You got this area you need to work on. This you need to change. And so I come and say, okay, Lord, change me. Make me new. Make me refreshed. Make me what you want me to be. I want to learn how to work with others. Now, when this happens, and we ask God to help us to do this, what happens in the life of the church body when we put this into practice? What kind of relationships do we have? It'd be marvelous. Because we're learning from one another. We're receiving one another. We're saying, God, teach me through each other. God, I receive you and what you're doing through them. The last thing I want to suggest on our notes is this. Be one to whom others can be subject. You're talking about being subject to one another. But I want to be one to whom others can be subject. Can we make it easier for other people to receive us and our instruction and our teaching? Because sometimes it's not the matter that we are wrong. It is sometimes we're wrong in the way we do it. We have to watch it. I have to watch it anyway. Because when you're wrong, I want to tell you you're wrong and you better straighten up. Well, Don't you sometimes? You want to pick them up, but you know, shake them. That's not my job. That's God's job. So what do I do when I want to shake you? I get on my knees and I start praying, Lord, this is my brother and my sister. Looks to me like it's out of line with what you want. Would you change their heart? Would you change their life? And if God prompts you, you may want to talk to them about, I'd like to see this, but you need to do it in love. You can't do it because you want to shake them. Because humanly speaking, this doesn't happen. You see what I said? If you're not filled with the Spirit, you can't do this. It's God's grace that enables us to do it. So I want to be one to whom others are going to be subject. Let me read the scripture passage and think about it for a bit. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Get the picture? He's saying to these Thessalonians, you became an example, but I want you to notice what he said. He said, I saw your work of faith. I saw you living out the hope in Christ. I saw you living that out. I saw a labor of love. I saw you working for Christ. I saw the steadfastness of your hope. Then he writes to them, so you became imitators of us and of the Lord Jesus. You see, all that precedes the end of that section. Because of that, they became examples to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. So what I do is not pick on you because you're not living it up. I say, God, how am I doing to be a good example to other believers? Is my walk, my attitude, and my spirit such that someone else could be subject to me? Paul talked about be what I am. So when I think about submitting to others, I have to say, God, search me. Is my attitude, is my lifestyle, is my practice such that someone else could see Jesus in me and be subject to me, could work with me because I see Jesus at work in me? This passage of Scripture, he talked about the things that they did in this church. They received the Word and the work of the Holy Spirit. They became examples to that whole area. So I'm saying today, as I leave here today, God, teach me to be a person that's living close to Jesus so that someone else could be subject to me because I'm walking, I'm being subject to Him more fully. That's not easy. But can we do it by the power of the Spirit? Absolutely. And when we do, as we learn, we become a better church family, a better representative of Jesus, and we get to share Him with more people, because when these things take place, other people notice and say, I kind of like what those people do. I think I'd like to be a part of that. So as you think about all this, he said, having talked about being filled with the Spirit, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, because we are also being subject to Him in the fear of Christ. So are we? I have to ask myself, God, is anything in my life needs to be changed? Do I have an attitude that needs to be adjusted? Do I have a habit that might hinder someone else? Am I faithful in the Word? Am I faithful with God in prayer? Am I being faithful in my ministry and service in such a way that someone else could work with me? I can't answer anybody but me. And you answer for you between you and the Lord Jesus. Because when we do that, then we have a place where people can be subject to one another because we're seeking to be subject to Him in the way we live and what we do and all our attitudes. And that makes a good church. It makes a good habit, good lifestyle. So let's bow together. If you don't know Jesus, what I'm talking about is impossible. This can only be done by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him, my prayer is that today you'll ask Him, Lord Jesus, I don't have this, but I need it. Jesus, would you come into my life and change my heart? Forgive me of my sins and save me and help me begin to live the kind of life that God talks about in His Word. As a believer in Christ, would you say, God, search me. What's my attitude about working with other people? Am I subject to other believers in the right way? Am I living the kind of lifestyle that gives others a reason to follow me? And other things the Lord may be saying, I'm thankful He's here. Lord Jesus, would you search my heart first? Show me those things that you need to change in me that makes me a better person, better representative of Jesus. Lord, help me and help us together to see the value of every other believer. Learn how to be subject to one another in Christ, receiving one another as we ought to, because we belong to you, and because you saved them. Lord, you work this out in each of our individual lives. You know where we are. You know what needs to happen. You know those areas where there may need to be some changes. Praise your name that by your grace you can change us, you can forgive us, you can restore us, you can make us be what we need to be.